Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
Well, hello, church. It's always good to be sharing the word of God together, albeit in a different format today. And Mel and I really wish we could be with you. It's just the way things have worked out. And also to be able to meet some of our visitors and guests tonight, we hope we can talk to you and meet you very soon. Mel is slowly recovering from COVID. She's doing much better. I'm managing to keep well at this stage. And we just want to thank you for your prayers. God willing, we hope to be there next week and to be able to see all of you. We have really, really missed you. I want to say thank you to the team also in terms of serving tonight. Tonight we do continue in the Gospel of Luke. We want to explore four stories from chapter 9. And these stories really call us to revisit our commitment to Christ's mission and how we can serve that together. Now, as you're aware, Mel and I have been away on 3 weeks' leave. We've had a great break, holiday. We've been talking together. One time we reflected, as we thought back 25, 30 years ago, it seemed to me outreach was much easier, where one could simply invite someone to a church-based event, usually a Sunday night gospel service. Someone would share the gospel from the front and people would be saved. Whereas if we flip over to today, that method is probably limited at best, and the results in terms of, I guess what I would say, is more complex today in terms of what it means to reach people with the gospel of Christ. It's very difficult in our time. Coupled with that, probably deep down, if we're honest with ourselves, we may be given over to feelings and thoughts such as these, and maybe you've had these things like, I should be doing more when it comes to reaching out. Or I feel a little bit afraid or scared to share my faith. Or I feel inadequate sharing my faith. Even through to things like I feel like a failure in all of these things. Now, I want to say if you've had those thoughts and feelings, you're not alone, me included. And inevitably, well-meaning pastors and preachers, and probably I believe I've fallen into this category at times, in our efforts to call us to mission, perhaps we've only exacerbated that feeling and those thoughts that you may have had. And if that's the case, I just want to say sorry for that, because we are on this journey together. And so as I've been thinking and reflecting on these things, I've sought to have a fresh revelation from chapter 9. And I believe the Holy Spirit is wanting to do a couple of things. Wants to release the individual pressure, which might be captured in some of those thoughts and feelings that we've had at times, and to really take a more communal focus on what we are doing together as a church as we serve Christ's mission. If anything, tonight, this is really about discovering and firming up yours and my part to play together in our outreach. And I'm going to suggest that there's going to be some differences that will complement each other in our pursuit to honor Christ and his work. So here's my question I want to put forward for us to think about tonight, and it's something I've been thinking about, is do you know your part to play in serving Christ's mission in the world? Do you know your part to play in serving Christ's mission in the world? My hope and prayer as we dive into Luke chapter 9 is we'll discover afresh our part to play. Now, as I said, there are four stories which I want to tackle first, and the first one, the first six verses of chapter 9 of Luke. And I've titled this first point, Powerful Yet Practical Outreach. Powerful Yet Practical Outreach. Verse 1, and he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons. They had all authority over that realm and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. So 2 points strike me from these first two verses of chapter 9. First, you know, we know from other texts there were many, many disciples that were following Christ. And in view of that, it seems to me that only a select few are what I call apostolically called. In this case, it was the 12. Now, if you flip over to Luke chapter 10, and by the way, I hope you've got your Bibles out and you can see some of these texts together. I wasn't able to get the PowerPoint ready for this time. But if you've got your Bible, flip over to Luke 10, you'll see that Jesus sends out the 72. And they're appointed to his work. And so these apostolic leaders are sent by Christ on a specific missional assignment. That's the first point. The second point is effective mission happens not necessarily through individual effort, although God can bless that, but rather through apostolic teams of men and women who are gifted accordingly. And we see that right throughout the book of Acts. And then what follows in chapter 9 is what I call five instructions that Jesus gives the 12 apostles. The first two we've done, proclaim the kingdom of God. That's Jesus as the Messiah, the King. Second, heal the sick. And then the third one from verse 3, Jesus says, take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics. And really kind of the idea of this, if you like, is that we don't need to have huge mission campaigns to do mission locally at this kind of level when we're looking at these five instructions of Jesus. Of course, we need mission funds for a variety of things that we do. But in this case, this particular local mission does not require huge resources to be effective. Here's the fourth instruction from verse 4. Whatever house you enter, stay there and from there depart. And, you know, if someone welcomes the message, then we are to keep our focus on that person or family that is to become our ministry for that season. Jesus is saying in this case, it's about that one person or family that is open to the gospel. And here's the fifth instruction from verse 5. Whenever they do not receive you, when you leave that town, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. Wow, that's seems a bit full on to me, thinking about that. We don't necessarily want to subscribe to being a people that's involved in dust-shaking theology or anything like that. But really, the emphasis I think Jesus is trying to say here is there are going to be people who reject our message. That's a given. And if that's the case, Jesus instructs the 12 to not continue preaching the gospel to them, but to move on to those who are perhaps in a season of where they're more open. And that's what they do. Verse 6, they departed and went through the villages preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. So there's five instructions from the first six verses of Luke chapter 9 that Jesus calls us to. Now, I was really thinking about that first point I made where, God or Jesus in this case selects only a few apostolic leaders who are sent out on the team to pioneer new ground. And really, we've got to say that's been the experience in new churches. Some of you would be aware Mel and I have started a replant in Bull Creek, and that's going reasonably well. And we've just started to pull together a team of people who actually want to go out and perform and do these five instructions from Jesus in the community. And I have to say, out of a team of about 30 or 40 people there at Bull Creek, only six have put up their hand to say, I'm really excited to do that ministry. And it kind of underlines perhaps the gifting and the personality of these six people. Closer to home for us, we're beginning to see parts of Karawara again opened up to this style of ministry. We did it many years ago. Some of us would remember being involved in that. And at different times, it's been on and off. And there's a rekindling for us to perhaps revisit and to go back into Karawara and to see if we can contextualize these five instructions again. And some of us here might say, Darren, don't ever ask me to do that. Don't ever come. And if I start to approach you and you start to get nervous about that, I just want to say, don't worry. I'm not going to ask you. Actually, your disposition towards this might actually be an indication of how you are gifted and called by the Lord personally. And I would simply say, if that's not something you feel the Lord's leading you to do, be released. Because it's my view, the Lord seems to only raise up a few leaders and teams to do this style of ministry. But you can pray for those who do go. That would be really important. Because for those of us who really want to go, guess what? We're really excited to do this and to see what God will open up as we do. But As we think of our second story tonight, doing good in the community doesn't always appeal to everyone in the community. And at times, it's even bound to raise what I would call some weird speculations. And at this point, Luke really inserts a peculiar side story. We're going to read from verse 7, which reads, "When Herod Antipas, the ruler of Galilee, heard about everything Jesus was doing," he probably heard rumors, or he'd heard that the 12 apostles had gone out and done this style of ministry. And when he heard that, he was puzzled. Some were saying that John the Baptist had been raised from the dead. Others thought Jesus was Elijah or one of the other prophets risen from the dead. You know, some real bizarre rumors that are really going on here. You know, that somehow the spirit of John had somehow transferred to the spirit of Jesus. Some weird stuff. And in verse 9, Herod said, "I beheaded John, so who is this man about whom I'm hearing such stories?" And it says he tried to keep seeing him. Now, Herod is somewhat intrigued and curious about what's going on at this point. But I suspect for all of the wrong reasons. We know a little bit later in Luke chapter 13, the Pharisees actually tell Jesus, "Herod is trying to kill you." And then on Jesus' trial in chapter 23, he actually meets Herod, but Herod is hoping to see Jesus perform a miraculous sign. And we have to say the Gospels actually paint Herod as kind of this guy, this king, who doesn't really acknowledge the truth, but rather rejects the truth. And notice that Jesus does not make an effort to actually see Herod. And I think that's because Jesus simply doesn't entertain visiting someone whose heart appears to be unchangeable. And he calls us to stay focused on the mission at hand. And here's my second point, which relates to this text. It's this: when rumors abound, stay focused on the calling. When rumors abound, stay focused on the calling. You know, one of the delights we have as a part of our fellowship is that we reach many people from different cultures. It is really, really a great joy to do that. But several years ago, quite a number actually left to go to other churches, or they didn't even tell us why. And some of the rumors that began to circulate that I noticed and I heard about was because I was the problem. And some other rumors have begun to emerge that some of us in the church were the issue. And that was really disconcerting. There's a really tough time. What do we do with things like that? Well, I tell you now, actually, I decided I would try and meet with as many as I could. And I met with most of those people, every single one of those people. And this conversation would go something like this. And I would say, "Hey, just wondering, you know, are you and I all good?" And they would say, "Of course, Pastor. Why do you ask?" I said, "Just want to make sure you know that I, Mel, and our church, we really love you and your family." "Of course, Pastor," they would say. "We know LifeStreams Carawarra has always been there for us." And then often the conversation would go, "You're probably wondering why we're not coming to church." And I said, "Yeah, it did cross my mind." And they would say, "We want you to know it's nothing to do with you or anyone there. It's just my own stuff." And what underlined for me is that the rumors didn't have weight to them. And when rumors abound, friends, we must stay focused on what God has called us to do together. Hope you can say amen to those things, because we've really got a big mission to serve the Lord in. Okay. I hope you are tracking with me. We've done 2 out of 4 stories. I know we're pushing through this a little slowly, but I want to move through this next one quite quickly. It's the third point from verse 10 to 17. Jesus blesses the wider community. Jesus blesses the wider community. I just really want to paraphrase this story very quickly. And the story goes like, the apostles returned and reported to Jesus all they had done. And Jesus says, "I'm going to help you unwind." And they move to a place called Bethsaida. But the crowds learn where Jesus is and they followed him there. But guess what Jesus does? He welcomes them. And he does 2 things. He speaks to them about the kingdom of God and he heals their diseases. Amazing. The 12 who were having a rest said to Jesus, "Send the crowd away so they can get lodging and get provisions." And then Jesus says something very surprising. He says, "You give them something to eat." Well, at this point, Jesus takes the reins, has the 5,000 plus people, there's a big crowd, sit in groups of about 50. He blesses two fish, two loaves. He breaks the bread and distributes to all that were sitting there. And the scriptures say that all ate and were satisfied. And even the 12 disciples picked up 12 broken pieces of baskets of broken pieces, I should say. That's an amazing miracle, friends. That really is the feeding of the 5,000 plus people. But what amazes me is that Jesus takes time to bless and to help those in our community by doing an amazing miracle. And you know, over the years, Lifestreams Carawarra is known for its community dinners. And it's something we started all those years ago, and we've had some different seasons doing it on and off at different points. But it never ceases to amaze me, the people that God brings. And there was a season there when we would be walking through Carawarra or walking through Waterford Plaza, maybe sitting down having a coffee, we'd see someone up to saying hi, and people would often say, not how are you, but hey, when's the next community dinner? Which was great. It was great. And the dinners gave us invaluable connections to people in our community. You know, maybe you are not gifted for that first part of that mission in terms of as an apostolic leader or part of an apostolic team doing that. But the dinner, I think, is something that we can all be involved in. I want to encourage you to think on such things. Our next dinner is June 5th. I want to give that a plug because it's an opportunity to invite people, but to also serve those in our community and to bless as we look at that. So that's the 5th of June. We'll give you more information as we approach that day. Okay, and here's my fourth story that I want to move into. And I want to jump ahead. Verse 37 is where we're going to end up, 37 to 42 of chapter 9 of Luke. And the reason for that is Vandana is going to bring the next part next week in terms of the Gospel of Luke. But I really think this particular scripture and story actually works together with some of what I've been sharing before. And I've titled this fourth point, encountering challenging missional moments. You know, we get missional moments which are very difficult that we actually don't know what to do. And this is what it says from verse 37. The next day after they come down the mountain, a large crowd met Jesus. And we have to say met Jesus again. A man in the crowd called to him, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, my only child. An evil spirit keeps seizing him, making him scream. He throws him into convulsions so that he foams at the mouth. It batters him and hardly ever leaves him alone." You know, you can really hear the desperation of the father's voice here. And there's further despair when he says in verse 40, "I begged your disciples to cast out that spirit, but they couldn't do it." Hang on a minute. Remember in verse 1, we go back to verse 1, and Jesus said to them, "I've given you authority over all demons and to cure diseases." And no doubt the 12 apostles, after riding on a high after their successful mission campaign, the early part of Luke 9, and then the feeding of the 5,000, they've just witnessed something quite remarkable. And all of a sudden, they've encountered and a major setback that what they were previously doing was now not working. The other Gospels tells us that the disciples talked to Jesus later and they're perplexed by this, even perhaps distressed. How come we couldn't drive out that demon? How come we couldn't do what we did before? And Jesus says in Mark 9, this kind can only come out by prayer. And then in Matthew 17, he says, it's because you have so little faith. And maybe they had too confidently assumed they would be able to simply do what they were able to accomplish before. And friends, it's a stark reminder because we get this as well, to always maintain dependence on Christ through prayer which energizes and strengthens our faith to be ready to encounter such challenging ministries that lie ahead. Well, Jesus said to the man, "Bring your son here." Verse 42, as the boy came forward, the demon knocked him to the ground, threw him into a violent convulsion, but Jesus rebuked the evil spirit and he healed the boy. Then he gave him back to his father. We serve a great Savior. What an amazing Savior, Jesus Christ, we serve. You know, when we come short, when we come up short in mission, when we fail in some of those missional endeavors, inevitably, which happens, Christ is able to make up the difference where we cannot. He is always able, and that is the good news for us as we serve the Lord together. Friends, today we've been revisiting our commitment to Christ's mission by looking at these four stories together before us and really asking the question, do you know your part to play in serving Christ's mission in the world? Are you confident that you know your part to play in serving Christ's mission in the world? Is it as an apostolic leader or an evangelist or part of an apostolic team who are sent into our communities to perform and work out those five instructions that Jesus gave us? If so, let's talk about that as we reach out together and we seek to contextualize that ministry. But not all have that gift, and that's okay. Do you have a hospitality gift to serve our community dinners? Or maybe a mercy gift to serve those in need. Or maybe you are a real intercessor. You love to pray for God's power, that it will come upon those and all of us in those most challenging mission situations. Perhaps you are an encourager. You just encourage people in the moment. Maybe you are a person of means investing in the kingdom of God as we perform these things and work and serve the Lord locally. Whatever it is, we each have a part to play in Christ's mission. And those parts will often complement each other as we serve together. If you know your part, serve with all the strength that Christ provides. I want to encourage you with those things today. And as we bring things to a close, I want to finish with a story which was written by a pastor by the name of Darrell Bell. And I want to finish with a story. It's about serving Jesus. When we serve Jesus by serving people. And it really underlines our emphasis to be completely devoted to Christ and how he wants us to serve. And it starts this way. A wealthy American traveler visited a hospital in Southeast Asia. He walked in just as a young missionary nurse was cleaning the sores of a very sick, dirty, elderly man who had been found lying in a gutter. The rich man said to the nurse, "I wouldn't do that for $1 million." She answered quietly and firmly, "Neither would I." Money couldn't buy her extravagant devotion to Jesus. Her life was broken and spilled out for the love of Jesus Christ. What a very special short story. We don't serve for accolades. We don't serve so that we would have status. No, we serve because of our devotion to Christ. And friends, we have this opportunity to serve Jesus and his purposes for us in this time. And occasionally the mission feels like it's maybe not going forward. That's okay. The early disciples encountered similar things. But if we know our part, if you individually know your part in the whole, let us serve with all the devotion and strength that Christ gives. I hope you can say amen to that. Wish I could have been with you today, but I just want to pray a prayer very briefly of blessing and strength in this manner. Will you pray with me right now? Father, today we thank you for these examples in Luke 9. Lord, give us great wisdom to contextualize those five instructions of Jesus here in our neighborhoods. And Lord, thank you for our community dinners. And we pray those would become more effective in helping and blessing the people, and ultimately helping people to see Jesus as Lord. And Lord, you would give us grace and strength to meet those things where it seems that the mission fails, but you would make up the difference because you are a great Saviour. And Lord, whatever part we have to play, Lord, give us your strength and grace increasingly to do those things, I pray. For your glory, for your kingdom's sake, I pray right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Life Streams Carawarra message. Have a blessed week.